Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on consumerism. So we'll wrap that up today, Lord willing. So once again, we'll give that definition so we know exactly what we're talking about. Consumerism, again, is a social and economic order and ideology that encourages the acquisition of goods and services, and here's a key phrase, in ever-increasing amounts. And even if it uses in ever-increasing amounts, because when we see something better, the one we have, we still keep that and then get the next one. That's why it's ever-increasing. Even if you got rid of the one and kind of exchanged it, you know, sort of what the phone people make you do, in a sense, unless you're going, you know, give me that one and get the next one. But usually we're stacking, and that's consumerism. We talked about the two things that it can do. It can be soul crushing as one. It can be an obsession for some, and it can be an addiction for others. And so we want the Lord to break us out of all of that. Is that all right?
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So we're talking about ways to combat consumerism. Ways to combat consumerism. One is we are to be content and satisfied with what we have. Secondly, we need to set our heart and minds on things above. If you get your mind off of the things on this earth, that'll help to curtail your idea to be consumer, your obsession, and maybe even addiction to being consumeristic, if you will, in nature. Amen. So we want to treasure our hearts and minds on things above, and we want to treasure the things that are above, so that our heart goes there. And it's just a reminder for where our treasures is. Jesus said, there will your heart be also. So you want to store up treasures in heaven. So be content. Set your heart on things above. Don't hoard. We said about don't store for yourselves. But give. Remember we talked about giving. Jesus told him, sell what you have. He didn't even tell him to give it away. He said, sell what you have and give to the poor. And then you'll have treasures in heaven. Invest with what you have with God. So we talked about the 96-year-old secretary and all of the others. And as Sister April prayed, you know, we talked about even the widow at Zarephath. There was a great famine in the land. You know the story, but let's go over it again. And Elijah was, he was living by a brook. And God had Elijah. He kept him watered by the brook, at Chirioth, I think it is. And then a raven brought him food. Talking about a God of miracles.
Amen.
Said, this is my man. I'm going to give him some water, and a raven will bring, a bird will bring him food. I'm God. I can do whatever I want. Amen. I got control over the birds. I got control over the water supply. I am God. And that's a reminder for us. No matter how crazy things can get, really crazy. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Really crazy. Really crazy. But he's saying, I control everything. He said, just think about Elijah. There's a famine in the land, yet I'm going to make sure my man got water and food. And I will command a bird to bring him food and sit him up next to a brook running the brooks that have not dried up. You best believe many of them had. And then when the brook dried up, what'd he do? Tell them, go on your way. Go on to Zarephath. Ooh, boy, the Jews didn't like that. Because see, he went into a Gentile country. Folks that did not believe in God. Went up in there and found in this godless part of the world and found one who had faith in God amongst the godless. Woo, he's a God of miracles. We need to say love, pause, and calmly think about that. Walk it through. Elijah, roll me through the land. You know, he didn't have a GPS. See, we don't think it through. He didn't pull out his phone and open up Google Maps and walk through. I don't know how he got to the widow of Zarephath. You think she was the only one living in that town? No. How he navigated and got to her, only God knows. But somehow, he went from that brook over to that widow. Walked up to her. She's a widow. Now, why didn't God send her to a full family with 10 people in a big house and just plenty of food? He sent her to a widow with one child. She's a widow. You know, that's a whole nother teaching in that time. Her being by herself. She had one meal left for her and her son. She said, I'm going to fix this. Excuse my bad name, but I'm going to fix this. And me and my son going to die. Because after that's our last meal. Now, it just seems crazy that, okay, God at times to us in our finite minds appears to be illogical. Did you hear that? Appears to be. Key phrase. Appears to be. Because we are so finite in our thinking. We are so mortal. We are so sinful and unholy, trying to understand a finite, immortal, holy, wise God. It just don't match. So it appears to be illogical, because at that point, common sense, common courtesy would have been for Elijah to say, oh, well, you know what, I'm going to go into somebody because I ain't trying to take your last meal. Right. No. Does that make sense? I ain't going to take your last meal. So, you know, hey, I'm a man of God. I'm going to be courteous. I'm supposed to. And so I'm going to just go on to somebody else. Nope. How many know God does test your faith?
Amen. Yes.
He tests your faith. He'll keep you in a spot that you don't want to be in. Will you continue to trust him? That's a challenge for us today.
Amen.
Will you continue to trust him in a hard time? Now you can pray, Lord, remove it. But when he does it, walk it through. Get ready to walk it out. I'm not saying it's easy. A load of prayer bottles up every tear. Meaning that he cherishes every tear that falls from your tear ducts.
Amen.
He doesn't miss not one, because he's a personal God. He's personally involved with each and every one of us. Relationship with you, with that God has with Miss Ava, is different from the God has with her own husband.
Yes.
Because they're two different individuals with two different sets of needs. And he knows how to have a relationship with you, different from relationship with you. But he'll have a single one-on-one. That's why I love the phrasing in Psalm 23. Get it out of the funeral a mindset and look at it as a comfort. The Lord is, he didn't say a shepherd. He said my shepherd. My shepherd. He's personal for me. He takes care of me.
Thank you, Father.
You lock in on that.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
He knows how to tailor make things. No matter how illogical it may seem. But he will test your faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you must first believe that he is then a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
So here he is testing the widow's faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm going to say testing Elijah's too. I mean, he probably feeling some type of, we don't ever mention that part either. He probably like, oh, I still got to ask her. This woman is going to die with one kid. Why are you sending me to her? I don't know, Elijah might have had that conversation. Never thought of that. Lord, what is, are you sure? Let me go pray about this. Which is okay to do. But I'm going to say, he got the go ahead, got the okay to approach the widow. Because through her faith, God was going to make sure that she never run out.
Amen.
So what she did was invest, is what we're talking about. She invested in God. I told you investment is going to take faith. What she did, she invested with God. She took her last. He said, well, me and my son going to die. He said, well, I'll tell you what, first, he said, make me a cake. That seems crude, rude, but it was God setting it up. She made him a cake. Took the little oil and flour, boom, here you go, Elijah. And the word of God then tells us, because of her faith, she invested in eternity. She said her cruise of oil never ran dry and the flour never ran out.
Amen.
He's a God of miracles.
Amen.
But you have to have faith. Okay, so when we talk about consumerism, don't consume it on yourself. Consume it through investment in the kingdom, and then he'll really bless you to be a blessing. Okay, does that make sense?
Amen.
All right. So we went over that. We talked about that. We talked about he. Well, we didn't finish that. We did.
Then we deal with the rich young ruler, Luke 18. Jesus told him to sell all you have and distribute to the poor. You have treasures in heaven. And consumerism, too, called you to become greedy and self-centered. Because you don't want to give nothing. I don't spend my money on this, and I ain't giving this away to nobody. And that's what the rich young ruler, that's what kept him out. Jesus said, sell what you have, give to the poor, Luke 18. And then you'll have treasures in heaven, if I'm reading that right. You shall have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. In other words, you'll have a treasure that'll be greater than anything you can amass here on earth. You'll have treasure in heaven. I'm trying, rich young ruler, to transfer, if you will, your heart from the things of this world to the things in heaven, which is greater. That treasure is greater. But what happened was he had consumed so much, he didn't want to let it go. And at the expense of eternity, he chose to hold on to temporal things. So that's us. I'm not saying everyone in here, and I'm not saying to that degree, but that's us. We're holding on to temporary things. Things that are transient at best. You know, there are people last night who have flat screen TVs, who had cars, who had money, who this morning don't have any of that because they are dead and gone, died in the middle of the night, died early this morning.
Amen.
Do you know that is true?
Amen.
And that it is gone? Wear your possessions, as the old folks say, as like a loose garment, meaning easily removed. Don't clutch and hold on to nothing that you have.
Temporary.
Because God is the God who will test your faith, and especially if you make your consumeristic goods your God.
Amen.
He's going to tighten you up. He said, you borderline disobeying the first commandment that I've given to anybody throughout the whole world. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And we're borderline allowing our possessions to become a god, money to become a god before God. That's why when Jesus said, as a disciple, one of the costs of being a disciple in Luke 14, 26, I think it is, on down to verse 33, he's one of the things is make sure everything you be willing to give away everything you have. That's one of the, he didn't say you have to. But be in a frame to do so. Everything you have, be willing to give it up. Consumerism does not promote that at all. Not promote it at all. And so the rich young ruler went away. When he heard these things, he became very sad. It means he was he was depressed and deeply anguished of soul. He just says he became very sad, but that Greek word is deeper than that. When you think about somebody being depressed, anguish in the soul, because he had to give away some transient possessions, let you know that he cherished them much more. And that's what Jesus is trying to get him to see. You're cherishing them much more than you do me. And me, I love the whoever said it. Jesus telling him, I don't come for him. A makeover. In other words, I'm just kind of fixing the here. Keep what you have like intact and just kind of make it over a little bit. No, it's a takeover. Mm-hmm. I want to completely take what you have. And you strip down and come to me. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor. That word means completely bankrupt. I have absolutely nothing. That's a destitute beggar. Consumerism. Will cause a Christian to turn their back on God for the sake of goods. Wow. If you don't watch yourself. That's why I say it can be soul crushing. It can be addictive. It can be an obsession. As you said earlier, there are things we buy we don't even need. As a matter of fact, there are too many things that we buy that we don't even need. And I love the honesty of several Word of Lifers who came up to me and said, you know, you're right. I can't pass up a good deal. It's just a good deal. I don't need it. It's just a good deal. Amen. 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 How many? Oh, I need to pray. I know some food you up. Good deal. That's a good deal. No, 3 for 1. Wow. You know, you don't even need a drill. You don't even drill. I got to get this drill. You don't even drill. Just, and I love how the testimony to it, you know, I think about it when I go into the store now. I think about it. I remember Auntie Allie said, "What am I doing in this? Let me get out of the store." She went and put. She told the lady, "Just take all that back. I don't need it." The Holy Spirit brought the message back to her, and she ended up putting it back and walked out of the store. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. I challenge you. I challenge you. Like I said, I don't know, 3, 4, 2 months, or however long we've been on this. I challenge you to not buy anything for the rest of the year that you don't absolutely have to have. It's not a need. And I challenge you then to take that extra money that you would have been consumerizing, it's not a word, consumerizing, and take that money and pay off your bills. Pay off your credit cards.
Amen.
Pay off those high interest. The money you would have spent, take it, throw it on your credit cards, and pay that stuff off. Free yourself. Don't be a slave to the lender. Don't be a slave. Free yourself from that. You don't have to have debt. Per se, you know, unless it's a house or a car. But if we're just that, we'd be good. But we got a house, car, and about 48 credit cards. Or other ways that we borrow that we owe, whether through a credit card or other kind of ways. Don't go funny on me. You know what? I ain't got a credit card. Yeah, but you got signature loans or you got something else. At 48% interest per half a day. But I mean, just call it the demon of simple interest. Just go add up and up and up. It's just common sense. Don't be like the world. Don't consume like the world. Be better than that. Because we have a heavenly Father. And He's a good Father.
Amen.
He tells us don't think like when he tells us be not conformed to this world in that too.
Amen.
Don't consume like the world. We consume just like the world. And His teaching is to break us free from that. Don't do that, word of life. My children. Yeah, get that mind right. We need a mind renewal. That's what He's doing. He's renewing our mind. Because other than that, we've just been blindly going along right with the world because that's what the world is. And that's what we've been taught and that's what we do.
Yeah.
Even though my mother lived the example in front of me, but I didn't see it. I didn't know to see it. She lived in front of me as far as being a great steward of God's money to almost perfect to a T. And that's why at 88 years old, on fixed income, she is completely independent, self-sufficient, just like 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says you would be. I don't know, everyone in here would love to be financially independent. And I love using that phrase rather than saying you're going to be a millionaire. We just love to be financially independent. I don't borrow from nobody. Unless if I do, I can pay it back in a month, really, and the same as cash, really, because there's no interest add on to it. Or if it is some of those, you know, 60 days where no interest is paid, that's the same as cash. Oh, that's good too. Be wise in your spending. Stoves go out. Refrigerators break down. That's all good. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's good. But just make sure there's a need. Amen. Not because it's 3 for 1 sale. 2 for 5. And I thank God for this teaching because helping me just to walk through the storm of consumerism. When I look at some consumerism, keep on walking. Get nervous about to reach for something. Oh, keep on walking. Look at one more thing. Did we read Proverbs 19 after the rich young ruler? We did Proverbs 19, 7, 12, or 28. Both of those, okay. About lending to the poor, give to the Lord. Yeah, He will never want. Okay. Now, let's look at the futility of consumerism. The futility of consumerism. The nothingness of it. It's futile. It's empty. It's a vain, worthless pursuit to just pursue things and money and prosperity. Let's start with in the natural. John David Rockefeller, heard of him? Rockefeller once said, quote, I have made many millions, comma, but they have brought me no happiness, end quote. Cornelius Vanderbilt, you heard of the Vanderbilt Empire, added, quote, the care of millions is too great a load. There is no pleasure in it, end quote. John Jacob Astor. John Jacob was an American businessman, a real estate builder, an investor, an inventor, a writer, a lieutenant colonel in the Spanish-American War. I mean, he was really prominent. He described himself as, quote, the most miserable man on the earth. Wow. All of those accomplishments. How about Henry Ford? Despite his wealth, Henry Ford once remarked, quote, I was happier when I was doing a mechanic's job, end quote. I mean, if you look at your life, consumerism hasn't just brought you happiness and joy. It brings you temporary happiness. Ooh wee, new screen, car, new this, new that. And then after 5 minutes, it's gone. Newness wears off, you're back to, ooh, I wonder what's the next best thing. Being a bit facetious in 5 minutes, but you know, it doesn't last long. Quoting John D. Rockefeller again, quote, the poorest man I know is a man who has nothing but money, end quote. Wow. The poorest man I know is the man who has nothing but money. No relationships, no this, no that. How about Adam and Eve? Uh-oh, we'll get to the Bible. Did they not have everything but one tree? You know, they were the true riches. They were the richest ever. No sin, nothing. One tree they didn't have. And all they wanted was the one tree. Just not content. Do y'all see this? You're not going to ever satisfy your flesh. It's an impossibility. Quit trying to do it, because it's just your flesh wanting stuff. Does that make sense? You're not going to satisfy that unregenerate, unredeemed portion of your being. Now that's good preaching. You get to realize that, you just walk by stuff. That's just my flesh wanting something. Food, go and get your food. You know, pay your bill for you to keep some heat on in the house, the lights on. Those are practical things. Put gas in your car. And thank God he provided basically everybody in there for the most part with those bare necessities. But be very in tune to the Holy Spirit concerning what your flesh is lusting after, what your eyes are lusting after. Because that's going to get you in trouble every single time. Because there is no satisfying the flesh. Its desires are insatiable, right? Cannot be satisfied. Lord, help us to get this. Amen. Adam and Eve had everything as any human being could ever want, including a sin-free, untainted world. Awesome. Is that good preaching?
Amen.
One tree. One tree. But God in trouble? She saw that the tree was, and she desired to make one wise. She took a bit of name. Got to look at it. That's what we do. Remember we talked about how they psychologically tested, focus group tested things, colors, and ooh, to bring you that ooh moment. She had a ooh-wee moment. Ooh, wow, look at that tree. Look at that snowblower. Look at them 3 for 1, 2 for 5, 8 for 9. And some of us got Groupon and Groupon and all kind of other ponds, and you go over there and just line your, just get your, get just print out all your coupons and ready to go to 10 stores, and you need maybe one of those 25 items you got set up with your Groupons. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
You may need one of them. The rest of it is just good deals. Now, I'm going to say this. If you're buying things like that to give away, no problem. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. How about David? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Beginning of verse 7. Now, you know the background to the story. It was in the spring, and kings would go back to war. And David didn't go back to war. He's chilling on top of his villa, the palace, that overlooked the land. You know the story. And he glances over and sees Bathsheba taking a bath in the river. And what caught him? The things of this world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. He saw her, desired her, go get her. No, that's somebody else's wife. Now, does David have all kind of wives, concubines and all that? All kind of wives. Just rich, he's a king. You see that? He consumed all that stuff. Brought it there, man, and just none of that. Go get her. Because he got her. Got her pregnant, killed her husband. He didn't directly kill her, but he indirectly killed her. And went on about life. And God sent the prophet Nathan to David to prophesy to him. And Nathan, in the first part of chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, he gives a parable. You know, about the guy have a whole bunch of sheep, you know, and then they, you know, he you know, kind of looked past all his sheep and went on to the other guy who had the one sheep and took one sheep from him. And David got mad, you know, man, why would a guy do that, you know? Then he tells verse 7, let's start reading verse 7. Nathan said to David, you are the man. David, verse 6 of 5, where is that man? We need to go ahead and take my care of my business with him. David, no, you're the man. Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel. And it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like this. Let's put it in today's vernacular. Go back to verse 7. Nathan said to David, or Nathan, through the power of the Lord, is saying to us, you are that person. Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, it is I who provided for you, your family, gave you a house and a car, and it is I who gave you this and that and the other. And yet you still walked away from your first love, which is me. So if you'd have stayed focused, I'd have gave even more than that. All I have to do is ask. Don't disobey me trying to get more stuff. Does that make sense?
Amen.
He got into sin getting more, and not just stuff, but in this case, getting more, in this case, with another woman. How much do we need? Or how much do we want? How much are we going to just satisfy our wants? To what degree are we going to do it? To what degree? Got to be careful. Because look what happens. Verse 9. Why have you despised the word of the Lord? See, that's what you do when you do that. That's what we do, rather, when we do that. You despise the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight. You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion. And he will lie with your wives in the broad daylight. Why, everybody can see it. What is he saying here for us today? Consumerism has a price. Whatsoever a man sold or a person sold, that shall he also reap. I'm saying this. Listen to God as to how you are to spend your money.
Amen.
Because God does have a plan for your money. We say, well, God, I give you my heart. I give you this, I give you this. But my money is mine. No, it's not. Amen. It all belongs to him. Remember, we are slaves. We don't own anything. When it says you are bought with the price, that means everything you own. When it says you are not your own, that's what it means. Nothing, you or anything you have, is not your own. Now, that's not going to be a shouting down response to that. In fact, we may get indignant, especially in America. Don't tell me it's not my own. I made this money. What's wrong with you? Spend it the way I please. God will say, no, you don't. I made you. I made you able to make money.
Amen.
I put it on the boss's heart to even hire your knucklehead self. Because if I'd have twisted the king heart another way, you wouldn't have a job. You got a job because of me. Don't let that job that I've given you, that I blessed you with, become your God.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Because I don't want God to cause evil to come upon me. And don't let the sword depart out of my house. And that evil up in my own children. Money, possessions will not be my God. Consumerism, again, is the increasing, is to acquire goods in ever increasing amounts. Acquire things. To acquire others. David had a ton of wives. He wanted to acquire another one. There's a danger to that. Who was the richest man in all the earth in the Bible? More than likely.
Solomon.
Let's talk about Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let's talk about Solomon. Chapter 2. Talking about a dude that was super, 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 super rich. Oh, by the way, how come riches don't do what you think it'll do? Why doesn't it do that? Anybody got an answer to that? A quick one? Why doesn't riches do for you what you expect it to do or want it to do? Bring you happiness, joy, and just do all that? It wasn't designed to. Yeah, that's it. It wasn't designed to. If you understood what I just said, you won't try to let it do that. It wasn't designed to do that. God was designed to do that for you. Not riches. Look at Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. Solomon is speaking. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. Now look what he says now, because this is what we tend to do with our own finances and things. Come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. Go buy the 3-for-1. Go get every single sale. Go and do your thing. And look at it. And behold, it too was futility. It turned out to be empty, worthless, vain, nothing. I said of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure. What does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. Look at it. I built my houses for myself. For myself. I planted vineyards for myself. Look at the repeating, verse 5. I made gardens and parks for myself. You think that's not on purpose to keep saying for myself? I planted them in all kinds of fruit trees. I planted in them, these parks, all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself. for which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I brought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves, and I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. So for us today, I provided for myself several flat screen TVs. I provided for myself several pairs of shoes. I provided for myself many sails that I didn't really need. I provided for myself all kind of stuff to fill in my house. That if I empty half of it, I'd have more room in the house that I don't really need for myself, about myself, to myself. It's no accident he kept saying, for myself. Can we do these things for ourselves? Consumerism is all about you. Look at verse 9. Then I became great and increased, that's consumerism, more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. And all that my eyes, you see that, desired, I did not refuse them. That's our problem. You go into a store, ooh, everything your eyes see, you're buying, per se. I didn't refuse it. I did not withhold my heart from my pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. I'm finna do me. Uh-oh. See, I'm finna do me is a current term, but there it is in the Bible way back there. Hey, I done worked hard. Girl, you deserve this. You don't work long enough for this. Girl, go and have you some fun. And dude, you earned it. You were, hey, ho, slow your roll, big daddy. Big mama, slow your roll. Because that's exactly what's the thinking of Solomon. Read it again. Verse 10. And all that my heart eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from my pleasure. For my heart was pleased because of all my labor. And this was my reward for all my labor. I'm going to do this. But God is saying, be careful. I don't care how hard you worked. You are still obligated to obey me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are still obligated. No matter what your girlfriends or your boyfriends or your friends tell you, God is saying, hear me. Amen. They are not your Lord. They are not your God. Amen. Ain't no nails in their palms or in the ankles. They're not. Not your Lord. Not your God. I'm the Lord your God. And I'm saying, be careful, because I am God over your finances. Amen. Allow me to be. We don't need no go to no investment schools and all of that. We don't need that. It's your Holy Spirit. Amen. He'll tell you, invest here. Put it here. Do this. Do that. Don't buy that. Hold on to that. Sell that. Look at verse 11. Thus, let's read it nice and good. I considered all my activities which my hands have done and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. Woo! Richest man ever. He said vanity, futile, empty, worthless. How worthless? Is if you running after the wind. That is an empty pursuit. And there was no profit under the sun. Consumerism profits you nothing. Because if you really think about it, you're just buying things that's going to temporarily for a few seconds satisfy you and only you.
That's not how we live on your own. You don't belong to you. What was it? Lord, take my life. It's yours. Use it anyway. One of the songs is my take my redeemed life or something like that and use it. I don't know the exact wording. Yeah, it belongs to him. You are not your own. And remember, we tend to think of you being not his own, just your body, like your life. But everything that pertains to you is not yours. Let that be the revelation we get today. Glory be to God. I'm fired up. Can we get this thing right? You really going to be prosperous. We got to get rid of that old mindset that the world has taught us. He's the most subtle beast. Because you learn, you know, you'll do something for 20, 30 years and realize, boy, this is not quite God's way. Until he brings it out. He said there was no prophet under the sun. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16:26? For does the prophet man if he gains the whole world? Matthew 16:26. And lose his soul. If you gain the whole world, what's the profit? He says none. Because what's more important? Your soul. Father God, help us. Help us. Thank you for helping us. We're boldly saying, the Lord is my helper, because we need help in this area. You are our helper. You are, our finances belong to you. They're not ours. We don't own them. You do. Help us to seek you. Yes. Now, that's the thing that's obvious. Pay your bills, of course. Pay off the debt that you owe. It's obvious. There are some things that we need to seek you more. Whatever areas they are, whenever that is, thank you that you'll notify us via the Holy Spirit. Our lives, our possessions, our money, our finances are not our own. We are, because we were bought with a price. Help us to become tremendous stewards of our money, of our finances. Let us do that according to your will and with your help. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.